In 2016, Utah Foundation will repeat its Utah Priorities Project to identify the top 10 issues of concern to Utah voters. One issue that's consistently been on that list is concern for the environment, and specifically, air quality. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. With the legislative session set to begin in a few days, air quality will once again be a concern for Utah's state senators and representatives. Whether it has the same political urgency as it has in past years may depend on just how polluted the air gets and the view from Capitol Hill. It was a pretty murky day as Salt Lake City's new mayor addressed a crowd gathered outside the city-county building. Jackie Biskupski had been sworn into office just moments before, and she put Utah's air quality near the top of her list of concerns.
From Temple Square to the Ochre Mountains, our skyline is obscured for several months out of the year, including today. Even the picturesque vistas of our canyons and mountains in southern Utah, where many of us find solace, have been dulled by pollution. This is a problem we cannot ignore. As the new mayor of the capital city, I promise improving our air quality will be at the core of every decision and policy we make.
The issue of Utah's air quality, worst on winter days when temperature inversions trap stagnant air in the valleys of the Wasatch Front, has been around for years, of course. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency has made efforts to address it, with regulations requiring cars to be inspected as they're licensed. EPA has also made rules requiring Utah's gasoline refiners to make cleaner Tier 3 gasoline, but they won't have to comply with those rules until 2020, and because it's a federal mandate, the state can do very little about it. State leaders have met with the refining companies, urging them to act sooner than the federal deadline, believing that would make a substantial improvement in Utah's winter air quality, but it could be years before Tier 3 gasoline is widely available here. In 2014, Utah's governor proposed a ban on wood burning through the winter months after research showed it could have a significant impact on air quality. But when the state's Air Quality Board proposed rules to put the ban in effect, a political backlash prompted the legislature to stop the process in its tracks. With those two efforts to address the pollution problem stalled, it's reasonable to ask whether the political momentum to address Utah's seasonal air pollution problem is stalled as well. In this edition of Utah Thrives, we'll hear from two members of the Utah legislature who don't think so. Patrice Arendt is a Democrat from the Mill Creek area of Salt Lake County who helped to create the Clean Air Caucus in the Utah legislature. The legislature meets during the months when inversions happen, and she says air quality gets a higher priority on bad air days.
Last session, we had great air quality. Remember, there was no snow last year, so we didn't have the inversions as much. And frankly, when people don't see it, they don't focus on it as much. And when I say people, I mean constituents. I hear, when the weather is, you know, when we have a lot of inversions, I hear from people. When the weather is beautiful, I don't hear from people as much. And I'm sure I'm not the only legislator. So I think last session was difficult. We had great air in comparison. And, you know, let's face it, most of the year is good. But we didn't have those inversions we're known for. And we also had the difficult situation with the wood-burning matter. And so I think the combinations, it was harder last session.
For those following the air quality issue in this legislative session, Arendt recommends getting away from a focus on individual bills.
Sometimes when you're analyzing what happens in air quality, you have to just look at the appropriations, not the bill numbers. Because having money, and this is what we're focusing on this year a lot, for good research. Because a lot of the research the EPA has done has been on both coasts. It doesn't apply to our area. So we have to have good research. I don't want to just go out and run bills that are feel-good bills that aren't going to make a difference. So we want to make sure that the research backs up the approaches we're taking. We also want to make sure we have more money for monitoring, for compliance, for changing out some of the most polluting items, and for education for the public. A lot of the public just doesn't understand what they're doing and the impacts.
But there will be some bills addressing air quality on the legislative agenda this session. One issue is the ongoing replacement of home water heaters with new designs that emit very low levels of nitrogen oxides, one of the substances that creates the particulate pollution we see on the worst days. On the Republican side of the aisle, State Representative Steve Eliason of Sandy says the air quality issue has plenty of political momentum going into the general session.
Having corresponded late last night with a constituent about air quality, from my perspective, it's a very high priority. It not only affects the health of our citizens, it impacts our economic growth. I just the other day heard a CEO talking about they brought a top recruit into town during an inversion, and that recruit said, you know, I love the organization, love to come to work for you, but I basically can't see through the fog of, you know, living in this city during these inversions.
Eliason is planning to offer his own bill to address an overlooked problem that impacts Utah's air quality in both the winter and the summer, the hydrocarbon fumes that escape from delivery trucks as they empty their loads into underground storage tanks at gas stations.
It's called vapor recovery amendments. And when you look at the whole air quality issue, the silver bullets are gone for the most part. I mean, you have to get into the weeds of specific areas that we can, you know, clean up our air even further. Because we've made huge strides. When you look at how much we polluted just a few years ago compared to how much we do now, it's massive. However, the population continues to grow. Cars continue to increase. And, you know, the inversions don't really change. They're here every winter. So my bill would require petroleum truck delivery drivers that take loads of gasoline and diesel to convenience stores. When they dump their load into the ground, they have to recover the vapors. So when you fill up your own car, you can smell vapors coming out of your tank. The exact same thing happens when that driver fills up the, you know, let's just say the 15,000-gallon underground tank. And a lot of them currently do recover the vapors. There's a hose they hook on, and all the vapors go back in their truck. It goes back to the refinery. It gets distilled down and then reused, and what they can't distill goes up those stacks and is burned.
For now, Eliason says he has no plans to require vapor recovery for retail customers at the pump, though that is required in some states, such as California. You can find out more about Utah Foundation and read the research reports dealing with Utah's air quality on our website at utahfoundation.org. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan public policy research group funded by business, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to promote a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.